Got to make the pass to the player. If you make it too early, they're not ready for the pass. If you make it too late, they're in coverage or they've gone off sides. We're talking about soccer here. We see it in dating where you get the phone number and you can't call too early because you'd be desperate. You can't wait too long or it's like you're not interested. And we see it at other places. We were at the beach a couple weeks ago and the kids were out there doing bodyboarding. And, you know, they had to wait for the right wave. And then once that wave came, they had to jump on it. And so we'd see them, you know, maybe they get impatient, so they try to jump onto a wave that wasn't quite right and doesn't take them much, very far. And they get up and they come back out, and that's when that great wave hits them as they're coming back out. Or they're afraid to jump on the wave, or they're waiting too long, and they miss those good waves because they just won't get out and act when they're supposed to. So there's times when you got to wait. There's times when you got to hurry. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. The Bible says about this in our spiritual walk, Ecclesiastes 3:1, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. There's a time to plant and there's a time to harvest. But you got to do it at the right time. If a farmer goes out and does all his planting, does everything right, gets all the seeds in the ground right, I'm not a farmer, so I might be messing this up a little bit. But if he does all that stuff right, but he does it at the wrong time, at harvest season, then he's not going to get his crops to grow. So we need to both do what's right and we need to do it at the right time. And if you look at Jesus' life, that's, I think, one of the best examples there. Jesus had to change the world. He's got to save the world. It's a big task. I don't know about you, but if I've got something like that ahead of me, I'm going to go ahead and get that started and get it out of the way so I don't have to worry about it anymore. But Jesus waited till he was 30 years old to start his ministry. He's talking about it in John 2:4. He said, "My hour has not yet come," when they were talking about starting the ministry. So he knew he needed to wait till that 30-year period, and we do too. But what are those times where we need to wait, and what are those times we need to go? I'm going to go through, and I'm not going to give you an extensive list today because we don't want to turn breakfast Sunday into lunch Sunday and dinner Sunday as well. But we're going to give a few examples of when are times to wait and when are times to go. Now, who here loves to go to the amusement park so that you get to wait in all those lines? You know, love the lines? I was looking online, and apparently when the Harry Potter ride opened at Universal, there was up to a seven-hour wait sometimes for that ride. We hate waiting at times, but sometimes it's worth it. Sometimes you wait in line for a little while at the amusement park, and you get to go on a great ride. If you haven't been on that Harry Potter ride at Disney, or at Universal, I'll tell you, it is a great ride. It is not worth a seven-hour wait. So when we look at Proverbs 14:29 here, it says, "Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly." So we can probably point to a time in our lives where we wish we had waited, but we didn't wait, and we had made a decision before we were really ready to make it. And so I'm going to go start through a few points of times when we should wait. First one is when we don't have all the facts. We see this in the media every once in a while. There'll be some viral video that goes around and everyone gets all excited and are all upset about it. And then later on, a few more videos of the same thing come out from different angles or a little more time on the video, and we realize, you know what, it really wasn't what we thought it was. And, you know, the media put it out there because they wanted to get that story, but they didn't wait to check all the facts. We do this in our lives, too. We can jump to conclusions about a situation. Are we faced with a decision, and rather than going and getting the facts on it, we just want to make a decision now. We're going to go with our gut. Now, going with your gut's fine. Listening to your gut's okay. I know when I go on job interviews, you know, if I get a bad vibe about the place, I'm probably not going to go there. But I also do the interview, I research the company, I get the facts. So it's not that you don't listen to your gut at all, but don't base your whole decision on that. Don't use that as an alternative to getting the facts and slowing down and waiting to get those facts. The Bible says that to answer before listening, that is folly and a shame. So we have a big decision. We need to take the time to listen to get the facts. And this includes judging people as well. I went to the church a while back, and it was one of the larger churches. They had a pastoral staff. One of the associate pastors was mentioning a story. He saw the lead pastor walking into this liquor store, and he started thinking, is he having a problem with alcoholism? What's going on? But rather than going off and spreading rumors or anything like that, he stopped to get the facts, talked to the pastor, and it turns out the pastor had run into an old friend of his, was talking to him about Jesus. His friend walked into the liquor store, and he just naturally walked in there with him to be able to continue talking about him. You know, that could have been a big story. It could have started a lot of problems in the church, but he waited to get the facts before he did anything. And so it turned out to be a non-issue. One caution, though, on getting all these facts is don't use this waiting for the facts as an excuse to procrastinate. Okay, if you need the facts, you don't have the facts, go get the facts. You've got a device in your pocket that's got a ton of information on it if you need information. Maybe sometimes you're going to have to wait for an email. That's fine. But if you need more information, go get the information. Don't use it as an excuse to procrastinate. Next point is when we're hurt or angry. You should always be slow when you're angry. And don't make major decisions at that time. Most of us can probably point to a time in our life where we've gotten angry, we said something that we later regret it. And it can cause a lot of damage in a relationship. There's that old adage, you know, when you're angry, make sure you count to 10 before you respond. It's a good rule to follow. Proverbs 29:11 says, "Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end." Or James 1:19-20, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce righteousness that God desires." And when you're already angry, you're not going to be, you don't tend to be, at least quick to listen. You don't tend to be quick to listen. You tend to not listen, or at least not listen very well, and you're pretty, not slow to speak, you're pretty quick to speak. And as a result, it messes up our relationships and causes all kinds of conflicts. So be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. That's one of the times we need to slow down. You gotta get your mind in gear before you get your mouth in gear. One of the times is making a major decision. Anytime you've got a big decision, you don't want to make it on the fly. You want to take some time for it. I talked about looking at jobs earlier. Whenever I'm at a job interview, if I get an offer off the job interview, I always tell them I need to sleep on it, give me a day to think about it, even if I'm pretty sure about it, just to make sure. So, you know, decisions like college, like a new job, like marriage, are things you need to take your time on. There's a show on TV, 90 Day Fiancé. I don't know if any of you watch it at all. The basic premise is someone's marrying someone from overseas. They've usually Skyped with them some. They may have visited them once or twice. And then that person's coming over here on a 90-day visa, and they have to get married over that 90 days. And, you know, you hear them talk about, oh, I'm not really sure about things going on. This is, you know, the person coming over. It's their first introduction to our culture in many cases. It's the time they've actually met the families. So there's all this indecision, and they're under this time crunch to get married within 90 days or they're not going to get married. It's a terrible way to have to decide on a marriage. You want to be able to take your time. You want to get to know someone through the seasons of life. It's great to know them when they're happy, but you want to know what they're like when they're sad, what they're like when they're sick or depressed, or not feeling well. You've got to go through the seasons of life. You know, you go on the first dates, and you know the women are, you know, got their makeup on, all dressed nice. Guys have shaved. They've showered recently, hopefully wearing some deodorant. You know, we're putting on our best show, and that's great because, you know, you want to let the person know you're interested. But eventually you need to get to know the real person under the makeup, under the deodorant. When the relationship goes from that point of oh, yes, hon, I'd love to go to the monster truck rally with you, to, no, we can't go to the monster truck rally. We're having dinner with my mom that evening. Or when it goes from, sure, absolutely, let's go see Titanic for the 24th time, to, I can't go, Friday's poker night with the guys. And I know you aren't familiar with poker night here, but some people do that. I had a pastor growing up, his marriage counseling. He would bring a couple in, and they'd be talking, and he'd ask them, you know, do y'all fight? And, you know, they'd say, oh, no, we don't fight. We love each other. We never have fights. And I'd say, okay, well, go away and come back after you've had a fight. Let me know how it goes. Because you need to see how people react in these types of situations. You know, is the person going to, you know, hold a grudge for 2 weeks, or are they going to be able to make up, or... You know, what's going to happen in that fight? You got to learn to know the people need to wait on these decisions. Proverbs 4:26 says, "Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways." And Proverbs 22:3, "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty." Another area here when you're making this decision is finances. That's where we get a lot of trouble with the impulsive spending. You see sale, I got to buy it. It's Amazon Prime Day, I've got to go get $300 worth of stuff in my cart. And the next thing you know, you're buried under credit card debt. Now, the Bible says, Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. So we need to have a plan for spending. Now, you think, what do we call a plan for spending? It's a budget. You have a budget. If you don't have money in the budget, you don't buy it. If you want to buy stuff on Prime Day, you save up for it. If it gets to Prime Day and you haven't saved up, well, there's going to be another Prime Day next year. So those are times to wait. Another one is when you're waiting for a seed that you've planted to grow. Now you're saying, I'm not a farmer, I don't grow plants, this isn't me. Well, I'm not talking about a seed you plant in the ground, I'm talking about a seed you plant in life. Thinking about school. When you go to school, you're studying, trying to learn the stuff, trying to get good grades, hopefully. And, you know, that good grade may be a bit of a reward for you, but the real reward for all that studying in school comes later in life in your job. You want to get your good grades, you want to learn the information so you can get into good college if you're going to go to college, or get into a good job. If you go to college, you want to stay there so you can get into a good job. And that's where you basically reap what you sowed back in school. It's one of these long-term things. You've got to keep on studying to get to where you want to be. The Bible talks a lot about planting and harvesting. There's a lot of agriculture on the day. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. So we've got a promise of that harvest, but in planting there's always a delay between planting and the harvest. And so we need to be willing to plant those seeds and wait until they grow. And one of the most important areas, and sometimes the most frustrating, is when you're raising kids. You know, the way you treat them are the seeds you plant. The behaviors they see you doing are the seeds you plant. You can tell them, you know, don't cuss all you want to, but if they hear you cussing in front of them, they're going to start cussing. The way you treat people, the way they see you treat people, are the seeds you sow, and they're going to treat people the same way. There was a saying there, like father like son. You've probably heard that one. There's a reason for that saying, because the father's planting seeds that are going to sprout in the son's life. And, sometimes I hear that phrase, and it's used to write off some kid because their dad's bad, and I hate that use of it, because we should never write anyone off. But the reality is, if you're planting bad seeds in your kid, maybe they can overcome it and turn out okay, but it's going to be a struggle for them. Better just to plant the good seeds. But even more with the kids, there's sometimes when you plant the good seeds, you've got them in a kind family, you know, you're watching language, you're treating other people well, and you're still getting called into the principal's office. You're still having behavioral issues. What I'm going to say is don't give up on your kids. I knew kids growing up that had behavioral issues sometimes. They weren't always the best kids in class. A number of them growing up to be in the ministry, to be pastors. So it can turn out okay. Don't give up on them, though. I just want to say, I know Pastor Ray sometimes talks about his childhood, and I know a lot of pastors who have a pretty interesting past, shall we say. So those seeds that you plant will turn out for good, but sometimes you do have to wait. So that's our times to wait. Now what about times to go? There's times where you don't want to wait. You need to go ahead and do what you're supposed to do. And the first one to talk about here is when God tells you to do something. The Bible is filled with instructions and commands. And God expects us to obey the commands. Now, some people want to make out Christianity to be, it's just a bunch of rules to follow, and that's not what it is at all, but there are rules that we should follow. Just like a parent makes rules for the kids because they love them, God makes rules for us, and it's because he loves us. And those rules are to help us. We need to be following them. Now, if you're parents and you've got a kid, maybe you tell your kid to do something, and they say, okay, I'll do it later. Well, we know what later means, right? It means later is going to come around and it's not done. But we wind up doing the same thing to God sometimes. God tells us, you know, you need to be spending time in my word. Okay, God, yeah, I'll do that later. Or you need to be inviting your friend to church. Okay, yeah, God, I'll do that when I get around to it. We do the same things to God, and that delayed obedience is disobedience. And usually it works out the same way as it does with our kids. We never get to later. We look at the calling of the disciples in Mark 1:17-18. Jesus said to them, come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. See, at once, you realize what they're doing here. They're leaving their careers to go follow Jesus, and they did it immediately. That's the type of obedience we're supposed to have to God, and we're supposed to do it immediately. Psalms 119:60 says, I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Not wait, not get to it when we get to it, but hurry up and do it now. So I want to think about, I want you to think about this at this point in life. What command has do you need to follow now? Is there something God's been telling you to do that you need to get started? Has he told you to spend time with him every day? Start doing that today. Has he told you to be baptized? We're doing baptism in a couple weeks. Has he told you to invite a friend or coworker to church? Go ahead and do it. What are you waiting on? We should move fast when God tells us what to do. Another time to move fast is to ask or offer forgiveness. Now, there's a lot of reasons that you should do this, but one reason you might not think about first is for your own good. We're not really made to hold this guilt. We're not really made to hold anger against somebody. It really rips us apart. Jesus said, Jesus said like this in Matthew 5:23-24. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in the front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift. Now, these sacrifices were a major part of the Jewish religion. But he's telling them that getting reconciled to your brother or sister is more important than doing your sacrifice right away. It's the more immediate thing. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Jesus wants us to reconcile with each other. And as people wronged us, I can just tell you a story. I was driving one day, trying to get on the Beltway, and we're all zipping in there. And then when I got there, the car pulled up, wouldn't let me in there, and I had to go behind them. And I kind of stewed about that the rest of the day, and kind of upset me. It was eating at me. The thing is, that other driver, what it did to them? Absolutely nothing. So it was just affecting me. It doesn't affect the person that wronged you. And the reality is, if someone's wronged you, there's one of two cases. Either they don't care, or they feel sorry for it. If they don't care, then you holding a grudge isn't going to hurt them. They're not going to care about that either. So you might as well get rid of it and try to forgive them. If they do care and they're asking for forgiveness and you're saying no, then you're kind of starting to be the one that's being the jerk there. Go ahead and forgive them. Either way, you need to forgive them. All right. Another time is when tempted. We need to move fast when tempted. And let me be clear here. I don't mean we move fast to the temptation, away from the temptation. Don't need to catch it before it leaves. What I mean by this is, if you're watching TV, you're being tempted by a show on TV, turn it off. If you're at a party or a bar and you're being tempted there, leave. And don't just stop there, but if you're consistently tempted by a show on TV, stop watching that show. If you're going out to bars or parties and you're continually tempted to get drunk or things like that, don't go to those bars or parties. We need to avoid temptation. Paul gives instruction about this in 1 Timothy 6:9-11. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation, a set of trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Jesus puts it a little more bluntly in Matthew 5:29-30. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than the whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. Now, don't actually go plucking out your eye or cutting off your hand. I think we can figure out better ways to avoid that temptation than that. Turning off the TV is easier than plucking out your eye, okay? But this does emphasize the importance Jesus put on avoiding the temptation. And we need to take that into account when we're thinking about it. I got one more point, and I'm going to close on this. So if the praise team wants to come back up. There's various reasons to hurry in activities I stated above. I've given you a few reasons why you need to hurry in some of them. An overarching reason is because we don't know how much time we have on this earth. We don't know what the future holds. We don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. There's one more thing I want to share that we should hurry and not wait on, and that's God's call to salvation. So look, salvation works basically this way. We've all sinned. We know that. That's not Christianity. That's everyone knows that. We also understand there's consequences to sin. The Bible talks about this consequence. It says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Now, that death isn't just you're going to die on this earth. It's an eternal death, an eternal separation from God. Those wages had to be paid, and we can't afford it. That's why God paid the price for us. Jesus came and died on the cross to save us from our sins. He paid the price that we couldn't pay for our sins. All that remains right now is for us to repent and accept that salvation. And this is a decision that shouldn't wait. If you go into a garage and they tell you, you need to get your brakes fixed, you can say, okay, well, I got to decide, do I fix them or not now? If you get to a point where you need to hit those brakes, it doesn't matter if you've decided not to fix the brakes or if you just haven't decided yet. You don't have brakes. And it's the same thing with salvation. If you get to the end of your life, it's not a matter of if you decided against salvation or if you just haven't decided for it. Either way, you don't have it at that point. So that's why we shouldn't wait. What is it that's stopping you from that if you haven't done it already? Do you have questions about it? I'll be here after service. I'll be happy to answer them. Are you trying to get your life cleaned up before you go to God? It's kind of like waiting to get well before you go to the hospital. God loves you, died for you as you are, and wants you to come to him as you are. So I'm going to just close in prayer now. We're going to start with a prayer, just of repentance, and saying, Jesus, I'm sorry for what I've done. I want to do better. Please come into my life and accept your salvation. And we'll go ahead and do a closing prayer. But if you want to pray that prayer with me, just accept salvation this day. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your love for us. Lord, we want to come before you now. We repent from our sins, Lord. I'm sorry for the things we've done wrong. We want to try to do better. We want your help. We need your help in that. We need your help for salvation. Pray now that it come to our hearts. Accept that salvation, the gift you gave for us. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you pray that prayer the first time,